Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, sponsored by 1-800-DIAL-DJs.com and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. I've been a fan of cartoons and superheroes for as long as I can remember, all the way back to the original Space Ghost cartoon in the 60s. Anybody else remember Frankenstein Jr. and the Herculoids? Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway, Josh Keaton is the voice of Disney XD's Spectacular Spider-Man, now in its second season and airing every Monday at 7:30 p.m. So, of course, I wanted him as a guest on Mr. Media. Now, in this latest cartoon incarnation of everyone's favorite web-slinger, Keaton plays the teenage Spidey. He's still encountering and wisecracking with supervillains such as Doc Ock and Sandman, and getting abused in high school by Flash Thompson, and losing sleep over girls such as Betty Brant, and he still lives at home with dear old Aunt May. Here is a clip from the show.
Goodness, what's this?
It's a great day. For starters, I sold more picks. Here's 90% to pay the bills, and 10% for my new camera fund, and that's not even the best news. I'm going to the formal, Aunt May. I got a date. Almost, for sure.
That's wonderful, Peter. I had hoped you'd change your mind. So I took in your uncle's tuxedo to save you money on a rental. The corsage and car service will be expensive enough.
Oh, car service? Oh, this will barely pay for the corsage. What am I going to do? I can't ask Betty to take the bus.
Betty? Who's Betty?
Well, for Keaton, who just turned 30, this isn't even the role for which most people will recognize his voice. That would probably be Hercules, the Disney movie in which he played the god as a teen. Josh Keaton, welcome to Mr. Media.
How's it going? It's great to be on the show.
It's good. So who are you today? Are you Josh? Are you Peter? I just want to know who you are.
I really couldn't tell you, but not actually today.
All right. Hanging with us is Josh. I appreciate that. I do want to point out to people that you've appeared on camera as well in shows, including the Even Stevens series-ending movie with Shia LaBeouf. You starred in Skin, the Jerry Bruckheimer film, and have been in episodes of a whole bunch of different shows. So I don't want people to think that you know, some hideous guy who's hiding behind the camera there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, I actually did start out my career as an on-camera actor, and I'm still an on-camera actor. But voiceover just seems to really have taken off for the moment.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, why do you suppose you're such a good fit for animation?
I've tried to give this a lot of thought, and it's really tough to come up with a reason. I would say that if nothing else, there's kind of a visual formula that a lot of roles are cast through, and if you deviate from that slightly, then your opportunities are more limited, whereas in voiceover, there's less of that propensity to get typecast. It's definitely changing. It's definitely definitely becoming more diverse and all of that, but I'm not the blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy from the Midwest, so definitely my opportunities for roles are not going to be as prevalent.
How did you get your first voiceover role? Did someone, hear you around the corner and go, oh?
No, it was done through my on-camera agent. It was something that I actually kind of fell into by accident, where I had my on-camera agent would send me out on bigger voiceover roles. At that point, I really had no idea how big the industry was and all the different facets of the industry with, on-air promotion and radio ads and TV ads. I mean, it was something that I'd never really been exposed to. So my on-camera agent basically just sent me out for, series regular roles in animated shows as well. So I auditioned and I got the role in Peter Pan and the Pirates, which is on Fox a while ago, with Tim Curry when I was little. I did the Back to the Future animated series, and then Hercules. Hercules was probably the biggest role that I ever got before I was actually really specifically pursuing voiceover. And as a result of that, I ended up getting a decent voiceover agent, actually the best now. And it just kind of went from there.
Now, it's been a while. I have a daughter who's now almost 13, but we went through a period of time when Hercules was being watched pretty much daily in the house. When I heard your voice as Spider-Man and I knew that you had played Hercules, young Hercules, I instantly, it's like, oh my God, I know that voice. Who did you work with on that? Because the young Hercules was you, and then Tate Donovan played
Tate Donovan,
grown up, right? So who did you work with on that film?
I worked with Rip Torn and with Danny DeVito. Those were the most notable actors that I had my scenes opposite in that film.
And did you
great experience?
Animation.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. Animation voiceover is such that sometimes, a lot of times, you record separately. You never even see these people. Did you get to interact with Danny?
I did get to interact. I got to interact with Rip. I didn't get a chance to be in studio with Danny. I did see him at some of the other events surrounding the film. But it's always better when you can interact with the other person, because you can always act alone and you can make all your choices, but you're leaving out that possibility that the other actor is going to have come up with something totally different. It'll be pretty much a curveball to you, but if you run with it, you end up coming up with some great, great stuff that you would have never, had otherwise. So I always prefer it when it's done that way. And thankfully, a lot of things really are starting to go that route. Even video games have kind of been the holdout where they're kind of like the last section of voiceover where you're kind of in the room by yourself and not dealing with any other actors. But even they're slowly starting to change over.
What was it like being around Rip and DeVito?
Well, the thing about Rip is that I mean, I was younger and I didn't really exactly know who he was. I mean, my dad was telling me all about him and all that, and then now that I'm older, I look back and I'm like, I did not know who Rip Torn was, but really, really nice guy, man. Really, really just classy, real supportive. He was very I'd say generous with his time. He wasn't just somebody that just showed up and did his thing and didn't really care about interacting with the other actor. I mean, he was really, really a good guy. So it was definitely a fun experience.
He was okay with a kid?
I'm sorry?
I said he was okay working with a kid?
Yeah, no, and I mean, I was probably about 16 at the time, so I wasn't like a little kid. But he was great. He was a good guy. And then Danny, I didn't actually get a chance to work with that. That was
right.
Fun. But yeah.
And how different was working on a huge? I mean, it really became a huge film. I know it started that way, but it took off once it was released. How different is recording a film like that from recording, say, Spectacular Spider-Man?
It's very different. I mean, with a big film like that, you have so much more lead time. You have so much more time to see the script. The casting process alone takes way longer. I mean, the casting process for Spectacular was, months. It still took months, whereas with Hercules, there would be times in between auditions and callback where I would forget that I had even auditioned for the project because so much time had passed. They'd call me back in, and I'd be like, oh, I thought that was, like, done and over with. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely more lead time, and obviously with the budget, there's going to be a lot more money thrown at the animation. I mean, I had a personal animator on Hercules who was videotaping. He had two cameras on me. He had one close up on my face and one on my body, so that while I was in the booth, he could capture a lot of my expressions, my mannerisms, my physicality, and implement that into the final version of the character. Like, when I look at the concept art for Hercules, it doesn't really look anything like me. But when you actually watch the movie, if you know me, you'll be watching it saying, this is really kind of creepy because that cartoon is acting exactly the way you act. and all the physical things, everything. It was all there. And obviously, they're not going to be able to do that with the Saturday morning or Monday evening budget. That's what's spectacular. Why they chose to go with a little more streamlined design, so that the action that they do show can really, really be animated well.
Hmm. You get a little spoiled by something like that. And have you benefited financially from the long run that the Hercules movies had?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, residuals, they over time they kind of sunset out. But I definitely look forward to getting a little something every year.
I hear you. Hey, I want to, if there's anyone out there who'd like to call in and talk to Josh while we're live, give us a call, 1-646-595-3135. Give us a call. We've got a phone line open. So let's talk about Spidey, who, of course, in real life is a teenager, Peter Parker. How do you play the different parts of his life?
Well, basically, his voice is really not that too far from my own. It's mm-hmm. definitely a little bit younger. It's set in a different year of my past. But in terms of actually, I'm not sure if you're asking more about the audible part of the voice or the actual character part.
Both.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's a part of understanding the character, I pretty much was this guy in high school. Aside from the obvious, you know, so I didn't have superpowers, but I was not a popular guy in high school. I was a geek. I loved science. I loved computers. I set up the computer lab at my high school, and I was like the tech support guy because it was the first year that they were transitioning their yearbook staff from actual desktop publishing, where they would actually cut stuff out and paste it to a computer-based system, and I was the only one that knew anything about it and how to do it and how to set everything up, and that was me. Like, I was not a popular kid. I was into comics. I was into video games, and couldn't get a date to save my life. But at the same time, I also had this other kind of double life because I was a child actor, and I had this whole other group of friends outside of school that I did other things with, and it definitely was. I wouldn't say it was a struggle. I wouldn't say it was that. I don't even know the word I'm looking for, but it wasn't. It wasn't. Man, I'm so looking for something that I'm still having my morning caffeine late night last night. But I faced a lot of the same type of problems with that dual life, where I would kind of be this one guy outside of school, and then I'd go back to school and still have to be the guy that was not cool and that everybody kind of not looked down at, but judged that way. And once you're pegged that way in elementary school, if you're in that same district, you're pretty much that way through your whole high school career.
Right.
There's a lot of shared experience and understanding, and it's helped me kind of get into Peter's shoes. And not to mention, I've been a huge fan of the comics, and I've read a lot of Spider-Man, and so even going into the audition process, I probably had a lot more background information about the character than a lot of people that were going in for it.
Now, your voice is, when we listen to the animation, your voice is, it seems a little bit higher and a little bit maybe even faster. I don't know if that's you or if that's done technically. It seems like maybe it's sped up just a little bit to approximate the teenager a little bit more. I mean, of course, right
no,
now
that's,
you're...
No, that's actually how
you?
I am when I'm sorry? No, I'm usually a lot more fast talking. It's just, late night last night, still kind of waking up with the caffeine. And I do tend to pitch up a little bit just to kind of really put it in that age.
Well, let me ask you a huge thing here, and you may not feel up to it, which I understand. But could you speak for a moment as Spider-Man and consider that Mr. Meaty is like a huge supervillain and say something to him as Spider-Man?
Spider-Man. Okay, I'm trying to think of a good villain face off line. Let's see. I think one of my favorite lines, Spider-Man says it to Shocker when he's, Shocker gets all mad at him for mocking. He's just like, I mock, I'm a mocker. That's one of my little geek pleasures.
I like that.
Yeah. I'll try to think of a, you know what, hold on. You know what, I have this toy right here. I'll look on here. Okay. Who's your favorite web slinger? Let's round up some bad guys. And you know what, I think I can even do this.
My spider sense is tingling.
I'm holding the Spectacular Spider-Man talking doll, which is a huge, huge source of geek cred.
Is that it? So you are the voice of the toy. That's cool.
Yeah. That was probably one of the coolest things I've ever had to do.
That is very cool. Well, this is cool too. I believe we've got a call for you here. Let's see if the switchboard agrees. Hi, do you have a comment or question for Josh Keaton?
Hi, Mr. Media. How are you today?
Hey, EZ, how are you?
Fine, sir. Josh, I want to ask you a question, please. I'm always amazed at the voices, how people. I do a little bit of voice stuff myself, and I was I'm just amazed with the voices. Are you ever worried about as you get older, your voice changes, and is your voice still changing? And do you worry about that?
That's actually a great question, I haven't really had too much of a problem with it. I mean, my voice has kind of settled in a place. It probably settled there a few years ago. And with a little bit of work, I really don't have a lot of problems getting it to, getting my voice to sound the way it did 5 years ago or whatever. I've gotten to an age where it stays pretty consistent. But that definitely is, a great question because there's a lot of people that do a lot of voiceover when they're younger, and when they get older, their voice completely changes, and they have to kind of relearn it, but they need to find a way to make that unique and make that something that they can use again. But voiceover in general tends to have a very strong acting component to it now. There's a lot of things that are trending more toward real, and because of the budgets that are given now, they're able to show a lot more emotion. I mean, you see a lot of these CG films that they're animated spectacularly, and I mean, you really see a lot of the face. And so I think that if you really just kind of work on your acting and keep that at the forefront, make sure that you're always making good character choices, that however your voice sounds, it's still going to come across.
Right. My part two of my question. Okay. How much actual time do you spend on the set?
It depends on the project. I'd say for an episode of Spectacular Spider-Man, there's usually 2 4-hour sessions that they'll do. They'll split up the cast because we can have such a big cast, and so they'll split it up into 2 sections and just do 4-hour sessions with each one. But there's other things. Video games, they tend to have more than one session. I mean, there have been some video games that I probably did seven or eight pretty long sessions. So again, it just depends on the project. There's radio ads that I'll go in. I'll literally be in and out of there in 5 minutes.
Is there any projects you turned down?
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things. There's certain video games where,
or any project, it doesn't have to be related to video game, but anything, any type of work, you turn anything down or?
Yeah, definitely. You know? I mean, I'm a member of some union SAG-AFTRA, so I obviously can't take any non-union work. Mm. But I'd say the only project that I've actually turned down would have been there was a video game, and it was like kind of like a war video game, which I've done a lot of, but it was right in the middle of a week where I had a lot of other voiceover projects, and with a lot of these war games, you'll be in a session for 4 hours pretty much screaming at the top of your lungs. So by the time you get out of that session, you have no voice, and you really can't work for the rest of the week. So I did have a situation like that come up at one time.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's a cool project.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Bob. Bye-bye.
Bye. So, Josh, as you were talking about the video games, I was thinking and was looking over your resume. I think I have your voice in a game here. It was my daughter got me the Marvel Ultimate Alliance game.
Ultimate Alliance, yeah.
Yeah. And you are the Human Torch in that, I think, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good stuff. I'm not a game player, but the kids love to play the game, so good job.
Yeah, I'm a huge gamer myself, and I love to play everything. So,
and in terms of just sticking with the Marvel Universe for a minute, you have actually played a lot of different characters in the Marvel Universe in either cartoons or video games, including Harry Osborn, I think, right?
Yeah, that was actually that's actually an interesting little story. I was originally cast in that video game to play Spider-Man, and I recorded the entire game. I did all of the audio, and then at the end of that, when they were kind of putting everything together, they ended up getting like a last-minute approval to use Tobey Maguire's audio from the movies. Now they didn't want to waste all of the audio that they had already recorded with me, so they put in like a hidden mode of play where once you beat the game, you get to pretty much play through the same game again, but with Harry Osborn in the Green Goblin suit. But the audio was pretty much all the same. Scenarios were all the same. And then when Spider-Man 2 came out and they were doing the video game for that, then they brought me back for Harry Osborn, since I had already been Harry Osborn kind of de facto in the first game. And then Spider-Man Friend or Foe was a different production company, but I still played Harry Osborn in that. It's weird, like the different video games and the different projects all have their own separate production companies. They don't really talk to each other, per se, when it comes to casting decisions or things like that. So they'll have their own auditions. I mean, you'll see one game that'll have a completely different cast than another game or show that's the same property. That's just how it ends up working out.
It's and you know, you're lucky to be working in an era where you can do the voiceover. Obviously, you can act, but you can do voiceover for both cartoons and games. I mean, that wasn't really an option 10 or 15 years ago.
Exactly. And I'm actually really happy that I've gotten the chance to do that, because as a gamer, I remember 10 or 15 years ago playing a lot of games where the cinema sequences were more of an afterthought. You know, there really wasn't much put into the story or the direction or anything like that. So you'd be playing these games, you'd be totally into this game, and the cinema scene would come on, and it would just kill you. And you'd be like, oh, man, can't I just forward through this? Because it would take you out of the moment. It really felt tacked on. And I always, back then when I was playing games, was thinking to myself, man, I wish that they could make these really, really good, really interesting, so I could get into the story just as much as I get into the actual gameplay. And it's nice to see that it's happening. I'm glad that I can be a part of that.
Josh, you've done a lot of work with Disney over the years. Obviously, Hercules was a big one, and you're in the second season of Spectacular Spider-Man. Why do you suppose you fit so well with Disney Productions? Is there anything to that?
Well, actually, the Spectacular Spider-Man isn't a Disney production. It's a Marvel and Sony thing, and Disney is our home network. But I have done a lot of Disney work. I mean, whether that be with Even Stevens, whether that be Hercules. I mean, there definitely has been a lot of that. I'd probably say that there's still a lot of that youthful kid spirit in me, and that's something that you know, Disney movies tend to really incorporate a lot of. There's and it's not so much just about age. It's just about that optimism and that. I'd call it youthful optimism, but I mean, you could have it at any age, and there's a lot of that in me. I'm sure that probably comes out, and that might be a reason why.
Does doing work that will wind up on Disney, whether it's directly for Disney or in this case the Marvel Sony, do you have to be conscious of that every day? That, you know, you don't want to wind up in TMZ. Oh, the voice of Spider-Man just fell over drunk at the Hollywood Bowl, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. I would say more so than it being a Disney thing, the fact that it's something that is so accessible to kids. I mean, whether you like it or not, you kind of have to watch what you do, because, yeah, you don't want to be a bad example. And, I mean, even though it's a kid's cartoon and it's on a kid's network, I'm sure that, you know, press, if I did something totally crazy and awful, would be all over it, and that would be a great selling point. Oh, yeah, Voice of the Children show is doing this. So, yeah, you definitely have to watch out for that, that kind of thing. And I mean, luckily, I live a pretty cool life, you know. I tend to be pretty drama-free and laid-back, so.
Well, that's good. Well, I've got the audio reel of a number of your appearances. I want to play this for folks. It starts off with Hercules, and maybe afterwards we can talk a little about some of the other characters that are on the reel. That's okay with you?
Okay, sweet, yeah.
All right, yeah, listen to this, folks.
Hi, am I glad to meet you. I'm Hercules.
Hi.
And this is Pegasus. I need your help. I want to become a hero, a true hero.
I like the way you think, Your Highness. Okay, we're going to need two of these. Ooh, one of these. A half dozen. What are those? How well you keep these flesh creatures in their place, Loki. Are you not the greatest of all titans?
Well, last thing I remember is getting stuck in that wander mold sinkhole.
Whoa, where are my clothes?
Nuts! Nuts! Get your nuts! We got all kinds of nuts. Brazil nuts. Walnuts.
Get your hands off my nuts.
This is all my fault. I was weak. I passed out the V-Buddies and then my kung fu moves wound up kung fu-y.
You want me to trust a gnome to lead the way to Estella? Forget it. This is my fiancé we're talking about.
Zeus turned him into a giant demon man-wolf.
Scary.
Sorry.
What's he gonna do, bore us to death with another lecture on the joy of the Paleozoic era?
Okay, what were we listening to there?
That is actually a that's what's called a house reel. It's a voiceover demo, and they basically they like to keep them under 1 minute. 1 minute is usually the standard time for how long it is, and you just throw as much in there as you can. It gets across what you're capable of.
Obviously, we started with Hercules. What were some of the other characters you were playing in that reel?
Okay, this is actually going to be really funny. When I did this reel, it was when I'd done a lot of voiceover work, but a lot of it had been when I was younger, and I hadn't done nearly as many of the video games or newer animation projects that I have now. So I really didn't have anything for the reel other than Hercules and some stuff before my voice changed. So I had a friend help me out with it, and he had a lot of copy. A lot of different things that we just switched up, changed around, and I came up with voices for different pieces of random copy, and we put that together.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So
for anybody that's looking to get into that, you don't need to have all these actually aired things to put together a good reel. You have to have fun doing voices and telling a story and being able to act it out and just put it together. I mean, that as long as it gets the point across of what you're capable of, you know.
Well, and actually that plays to the
probably.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was actually saying I should probably update the reel now with some clips from Spidey and some of the other things that I've done, Doctor Strange and whatnot. Definitely.
We got a question from the live web chat that accompanies all the Mr. Media interviews, asking where do you go to see if your voice could be used for a character, or do you just kind of know somebody, or does somebody hear you and go, "Oh, have I got a job for you?"
There's different online outlets that are available, but to be honest, that's really a side of the industry that I've never really had to deal with, because my initial opportunities came through an on-camera agent, and then it was just through work that I had done that I kind of got a foot in the door. It's a really tough business to get a foot in the door, because there's such a small pool of talent, and they tend to use a lot of the same people over and over. So it's definitely tough. But the first thing that you could do is definitely put together a voiceover reel and start promoting it, start looking for other things. I'd say if somebody's interested in starting out, look at local things. You know, look at things around your area. Look at local radio stations and things of that nature.
Last year, I had a woman on the show named Carolyn Lawrence, who is the voice of Sandy Cheeks on SpongeBob. She's a Moral on Moral Oral, and she is Cindy on Jimmy Neutron. And
awesome.
I got the sense that it's kind of a small community of people who do a lot of this work. And I wondered, I mean, do you know a lot of people who do this, or are you working in kind of a different area and maybe not crossing paths with them a lot?
It is a small industry. There are a lot of the same people that do a lot of the same stuff, and as a result, I tend to know and be friends with a lot of the people in the voiceover industry. It definitely is a small industry. You got I could name a few people off the top of my head that are probably doing a ton of what kids are watching today, and you know, multiple parts in the same show or Parks in tons of different shows. That's pretty much the way it is. Yeah.
Hmm. Now I want to get off the subject of animation for a minute, but I have one more clip that I want to use up here. This is Josh Keaton as the Spectacular Spider-Man meeting the Rhino. Give a listen to this.
What do you think, I'm stupid?
Well, you are dressed stupid.
That's it, put me down!
It's for your own safety, Picklepuss.
That's it!
What do you want with Parker?
You. Just you. And payback for all the times you took me down.
Her?
Not anymore. Call me Rhino!
Hey, watch it! Glass doors are expensive!
Your goof's useless now, creep.
First Marco becomes Sandman, now this? What's the big man's next move? Turning Flash Thompson into the belligerent bug zapper?
I don't know. It may show my level of maturity, but I love that stuff. I don't know.
I do, too. I mean, the thing that I'm really happy about with Spectacular Spider-Man is they brought the humor back. I'm not sure where it went, but that's a huge part of Spidey. I mean, he's the Marvel Universe trash talker, and he's awesome at it. Like, I love that it's back there, and I love that his fights aren't just slugfests. I love that that he's actually got his science knowledge to figure out how to use his opponent's strengths against them.
Now, before I let you go, I have to ask you about a guy you did some on-camera work with, Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
He's obviously on a very hot streak right now. Transformers, due out any day. Saw in the paper this morning that Spielberg has told him there will be another Indiana Jones with him and Harrison Ford. And I know you worked with him on the one project, the Even Stevens movies, did you ever imagine while working with him that he'd come to be this huge action star?
I can definitely say that when I was working with him, I knew he was going to be a star in some sense. I wasn't sure it was in the action or what, but he's a great actor, and he's got a great personality. He's very, very, very interesting person, nice guy. Like, I have nothing but good things to say about him. When we were filming the Even Stevens movie, we were basically in Hawaii for about a month and a half. And so, I got to spend a lot of time around him, and he's a really cool guy, funny, really, really funny guy. It's he's one of those guys that's always on. You know, you never know what to expect from him. So you'll be having a normal conversation, and something hilarious will come out, and you'll not be expecting it. But yeah, really, really cool guy. I had no doubt in my mind that he was gonna do a lot of big things.
Now, not a household name at that point. Did you you guys get into any trouble, as young men might, that might be good story today?
I would say that pretty much normal stuff, kind of hanging out, partying. But it was one of those things where we were on location, and everybody enjoyed them on the set, but. I mean, we still had to get up early and film and do all of that. So, I mean, when you're on location, there's still certain things that you got to do just to be professional. And everybody was pretty professional.
All right, way to weasel out of that. Okay.
I know. It's a boring answer, you know, but yeah.
So what's next? I assume you've already finished the second season of Spider-Man. What are you working on now? What do you have up ahead this year?
Well, right now I'm going to be going to Comic-Con to promote Spectacular and release the first season set of DVDs. Yeah, season two is already finished. It's in the can, and we're just waiting to see how it does. We get any word on if there's going to be a season three pickup, which we're all hoping for. There's a couple of video games on the horizon, but due to NDAs, I can't really talk about them yet. And then music. I'm a musician and a singer as well, so. I've been in the studio writing and producing, and both for myself and for other artists. So there'll definitely be some music on the way. And everything can, all the news can be kept up with at my website. It's joshkeaton.com. And there's links to the various MySpace music pages and such there as well.
So, I have to ask you. Now, Roger Bart sang for you as young Hercules. Has your singing voice changed since then, or it just wasn't the right voice for that part?
It wasn't the right voice. I would say, and I'm a huge Roger Bart fan. I got to preface whatever I say by saying that. He almost made me pee my pants in producers. He was hysterical. But he did a fantastic job as my singing voice in Hercules. I originally recorded the song, and I actually have a cassette. Don't want to date myself here, but I don't have it on CD. I have an audio cassette of the version of the Hercules song that I sang with the orchestra and all that. And my voice was pretty much just too kind of pop R&B. And they did want to release that song as a single, and I think they did with Michael Bolton singing it. So for the film version, they wanted more of a, I guess for lack of a better term, more of a musical theater-ish type of voice. And so that's why I didn't do the singing in the original singing in the movie. But I think that Roger did a great job, and I definitely would have liked to have my voice on it, but I'm totally not even worried about it.
I'm sure. Well, it must be somewhat amusing to see him in, I don't know, the producers or Desperate Housewives or all the places he's been, and go, that guy sang for me. That is so weird.
I could put that spin on it too. Yeah, I totally. Again, me being such a huge fan of his, that's actually a pretty cool thing to say.
There you go. Well, listen, we kept you a little longer than planned here, but I appreciate it.
I had a great time.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to tell everybody you can catch Josh Keaton every Monday night, 7:30 p.m. on Disney XD as the voice of the Spectacular Spider-Man and Peter Parker. And you can catch up on some of the episodes you've missed at www.disneyxd.com. And look up Josh's site, Josh, J-O-S-H, Keaton, K-E-A-T-O-N.com, for more on what he's up to. And, of course, look for him at Comic-Con in July. Josh, that was cool. Thanks so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Thanks for having me. I had a fantastic time.
I appreciate that. You take care.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Trust me, Mr. Jameson. When Spidey goes into action, I'll be there.
And, of course, for more interviews with your favorite... Did you hear that?
I did hear that. That was awesome.
Josh heard that. I was going to go out with that. So there you go. Then, of course, folks... So thank you, Josh. For more interviews with your favorite animation voice actors, surf over to mrmedia.com. That's where you can hear my earlier interviews with the aforementioned Carolyn Lawrence, the voice of Sandy Cheeks on SpongeBob, and Oral on Moral Oral, and also Catherine Tabor, who's the voice of Padme Amidala on Star Wars The Clone Wars. And Josh, thanks again for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. And, of course, please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. That's whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, Pointer Online, MySpace, Facebook, Multiply, Zanga, Friendster, Orkut, Bebo, Podcast Tickle, Vox, Folio, Mediafly, Podfeed.net, Blueberry, Zencast, Zimbio, or Odeo. Subscribe to Mr. Media in iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews within the podcast section of iTunes and click the free subscribe button. It's that easy. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, twitter.com/andelman. And anyway, thank you so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day to spend it with us. Come back real soon, and thanks for listening.